This episode is brought to you by Ursa Minor Outfitters. Folks, I'm absolutely in love with my Loon mug. It's handmade. It's an absolute piece of art. Whether it's at the office or at the house, people keep asking to check it out. If you're not a Loon fan, they also have other beautiful mugs for wildlife fans of moose, bears, and eagles. They specialize in products highlighting the outdoors and local pride through quality design by local artists. They've even started expanding into items beyond mugs, like apparel, dog accessories, and soon candles and more. They also try to partner and highlight other small businesses, and in some cases, forgo profits in lieu of charitable giving to help their community, such as the dog rescue. So check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for our four-legged hiking partners, they also have a portable silicone dog bowl and also a sweet over-the-collar dog bandana. Go check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and don't forget to enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Welcome everyone to the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm your host Ivan, and together we'll embark on a weekly journey connecting with extraordinary hikers from all corners of the U.S. and beyond. Throughout these winter months, we've had the privilege of conversing with some remarkable individuals this season. Their experiences and adventures will leave you yearning to hit the trails. Since the Northern Hemisphere is in full winter mode, I'm excited to have our first guest of Season 5 be from a place very dear to my heart. We're taking it back to the islands to talk with an amazing hiker. His name is John, and he's from the Big Island of Hawaii. You can follow him on Instagram at john.ventures. John shares with us how attending college in the Pacific Northwest and living in NorCal helped introduce him to the outdoors and hiking. We also learn about some of his favorite hikes across not only the Hawaiian Islands, but across the Southwest and California. Lastly, John shares with us his incredible experience visiting Dubai. Without further ado, let's jump into this episode with our guest, John. Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm really excited to have this guest on today. He's from the Big Island of Hawaii. John, I'm really excited to speak with you. I always like reminiscing and talking story with folks from the island. You know, the first question that we always like to ask our guests is how long they've been hiking for and how you got started.
I hiked a few times in Oregon when I was in college. I attended Portland State University, so I was there for like 7 years. There's a couple of times I hiked out in the Columbia Gorge, and one of the hikes I remember was like Angel's Rest, Monoma Falls, Horsetail Falls, and Beacon Rock. But I didn't really get into hiking till I moved to Sacramento, California after college. I lived there for like 2.5 years. And, you know, fresh out of college, I didn't know anybody. I didn't have a car. I was broke, so I couldn't do anything. Yeah. But I had a hard time finding a group or community. So my friend like recommended me to use a social group platform called Meetup, and I wanted to explore. So I looked up hiking groups, and there's a few groups out of Sacramento, and that's how it started. You know, it was great that these hikes were free, and I was able to catch rides with someone carpooling. I think my first hike with that meetup was in Northern California, out in Feathers Falls near Chico, California. Mm-hmm. From there, I fell in love with nature and the outdoors, and also pushed me to hike because I was in my fitness journey as well. So majority of my time in Sacramento, I was either hiking somewhere or running, biking at the American River Trail.
I feel like Sacramento sometimes gets overlooked with Northern California. You know, you have such amazing outdoor experiences to the north, to the south, and even to the coast. How would you describe the hiking scene there in Sacramento?
Well, Sacramento is, I can say that Sacramento is a little flat. So most of my hikes was actually outside of Sacramento. I would actually go towards the Bay Area. I forget what area it was. Oh, like the Point Reyes area. That's where I would go a lot. I know I hiked out there a lot along the coast a lot, like Alamir Falls, and I did the John Muir Forest Trail, I think. There are another couple of trails, but I just didn't remember the name of it. I also hiked a couple of times out in Lake Tahoe, which is very nice. I forget the Rubicon Trail I did. I wish I did more, but, you know, I never had a car, so I'd come there when I had a chance.
And from Sacramento, is that where you moved back to the Big Island?
Actually, from Sacramento, I moved to Oahu, actually. I was getting homesick. I was just seeing all the, like, you know, the beaches on social media. I was like, I'm getting homesick. I got to go back home. So after my job, actually, you know what? I got let go. That's why. That's another thing. I got let go and I decided, you know what? I'm going to go move back home. But to the Big Island, I'm going to go to Oahu.
Yeah.
From there were just so many hikes out there. I just had fun exploring the whole island.
You know, that's one thing that Google Photos likes to remind me is some of those beautiful island hikes, especially the ridge hikes. I think those are my favorite on Oahu.
Yes, me too.
What are some of your favorite hikes there on Oahu?
So if the short ones in Oahu are like Hulu, you know, the pink pillboxes out in Waianae?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I prefer that over like Diamond Head or Lanikai because Lanikai is like overcrowded. Pu'u Hulu, I'll just call it pink pill boxes. They have like better sunsets because it's the west side of Oahu. And I like how they dedicate the pill boxes to like people with cancer. I don't know if you noticed, they would like put something like if somebody passed away, put their names or put a prayer box as well. I like how they made theme for it.
Yeah, it's one of the more unique pill box there on the island just because, like you said, Lanikai is known for the sunrise hikes, but something about sunset hikes over on the west side, and especially with the more desert landscape of the west side that adds contrast to it.
Yeah, that's true. Another hike that I like is actually the Aiea Ridge. It's pretty long. It's like, 10 miles round trip. I just feel like it was just so the views is so mountainous compared to all the other hikes I've done or other ridge hikes I've done in the island. Of course, I like Stairway to Heaven as well, but for some reason, Aiea Ridge caught my eye.
I only was able to do Aiea Ridge a few times, and one time I was trying to reach the other stairway, the Stairway to Hell, but I lost the trail. I had to turn around.
You did. That's what I want to do next. Like, that's one of my, I want to check that hike off, but I always wanted to do Stairway to Hell.
Yeah, same. Never got a chance. And I hear that there's a trail that's a little bit more maintained because when I did it almost 10 years ago, it wasn't much of a trail. Like once you got to closer to the H3 tunnel.
Yeah. Aiea Ridge is like the pathway to Stairway to Hell, right? Yeah. Now you're giving me motivation.
The one that's popular for people that are working out is the Cocoa Head stairs. Did you get a chance to do Cocoa Head a few times?
Oh, I do it like when I was living there, I would at least do it once a week. And I still do when I go to Oahu. Mm-hmm. And of course, yeah, like I call Cocoa Head the Cocoa Head Stairmaster. It's pretty much the Stairmaster going all the way up. And did you know before I left, like it was a lot harder because the stairs wasn't being renovated, but they renovated it now. It's under the Coconut Coalition. So they've been like fixing up the stairs. They even added something at the top. More stairs at the top. Yeah. And then they did take down that platform on the top. I don't know if you've seen that yet. Now it's like a little.
Yeah. I kind of am disappointed they took the platform off. Yeah. That was always a good place to rest and just take in the views.
It's nicer too than what they have now. I don't know. They did it because of like it was dangerous or something. I still don't know. I've seen that very dangerous as well. The old platform. Had great views. Yeah, it's just a nice way to rest, you know?
Yeah.
Like when there's somebody I know that started hiking and they ask me, so which ridge hike should I do first? I always recommend that hike.
Same.
Because like it's not steep. There's no like narrow drop-offs. It's safe, but it's a good beginner ridge hike.
I like that it changed like every mile was a different landscape. You start with almost that drier, deserty landscape, and then you kind of get into like, is it pine trees?
I think it's pine trees. I think it is pine trees because you go through like few switchbacks, right? There's a few.
Yeah.
And then you go into the forest.
And then you finally pop out at the top, which is its own mini Stairmaster. Because I think it's like maybe 100 steps that you have to take.
Yeah, man, you're giving me memories right now.
You know, that's Oahu, but now you're on the Big Island. And the Big Island, it's so diverse. I think people say that it has practically every single ecosystem except Arctic all on one island. How would you describe the outdoor and hiking scene there on the Big Island?
The Big Island outdoor scene is unique. You know, you can be under the sun, sitting on white sandy beaches, or wearing a rain jacket, walking through a rainforest, or, you know, exploring any geological features out of the volcanoes. And right now being December, Mauna Kea is snowing, so you can wear snow boots and coat up a snowy mountain. You can even, like, if you have a truck, you can bring snow down. So it's very diverse. I think Big Island is one of its kind, and that's what makes it, you know, makes its island. It's very unique. It makes it stand out from all the other islands. In terms of, like, hiking, since I moved back to the Big Island, there's a national park, Hawaii's Volcanoes National Park. There's not too much ridge hikes or summit hikes, you know, mountain hikes. That's what I miss a lot. There's a lot of coastal trails here in the Big Island. If I had to choose, like, my favorite hikes would be like Pu'uva'ava'a. It means cinder cone. You go up pretty much, it's located in Waimea, actually, the other side of Hilo. Yeah. So you go up a cinder cone and you just get a view of, you know, the west side of the Big Island. You can see, on a clear day, you can see Mauna Loa, Mauna Kea, and Hualalai, which formed the Big Island.
And how long of a hike was that, John?
I'd say about 7 miles round trip.
Okay, not too bad.
Yeah, I did it 3 times already. I know the first and the last time, my first time and the third time, it was a clear day. The second time, it was rainy and foggy, so I couldn't see anything when I was at the top.
Kind of like ridge hikes. You don't know what you're going to get at the top. Sometimes it's clouded in, sometimes it's clear.
I think that's why I like it, because it's pretty much similar to a ridge hike, because that's like only the hike that I can think of that's kind of like connected to ridge hikes in Oahu. The rest is like mostly coastal line trails, which, you know, it's okay. But I do miss the ridge hikes out in Oahu. Maybe what I can bring up is probably South Point, right? Green Sands Beach. Have you gone out there yet?
I've made it to South Point, but never made it to Green Sand Beach.
Oh, you never made it to Green Sands Beach?
No. Checked off South Point, but haven't had a chance to hike out to Green Sand.
Well, if people don't know, if whoever's listening, South Point is the most southern point of the United States. And Green Sands Beach is about, I say, about 1.5 miles. It's one of the 3 beaches in the world that have green sands. There's local guys that actually have trucks so they can go 4x4, pick you up and go off-roading towards the beach, or you could hike. I did the hiking part and I rode the truck, and both are great. It's really nice. It's very unique, you know, like from far away, it doesn't seem like there's green sand, but when you go like actually walking on the sand, you'll see green sands. You actually see the geological forms of how it is. It's pretty nice.
And that's what I love about the Big Island, because you guys not only have green sand beach, but you got black sand beach, and then you got just the regular white sandy beaches that Hawaii is known for.
Right. It's like so unique, man.
And you mentioned it, John. I think Haleakala gets some snow every once in a while, but Mauna Kea, Mauna Loa, almost on a yearly basis, will get a good snowfall.
Yes.
Have you had a chance to make it up there and have a snow day?
Not this year, like not in a long time. I think the last time I did it was like 10 years ago. I mean, you know, I lived in Oregon, so like I'm used to the snow. It's not really a big deal for me. I mean, my friends do ask me if I wanted to come. I was like, I'll go to the mainland for the snow instead. So we can actually snowboard, or actually, you know, this snow is a lot better in the mainland. I mean, it's nice. It's a good experience, you know, having snow in Hawaii, which a lot of people don't know about.
There's a few years where I remember that Mauna Kea and Mauna Loa would get the first significant like snow warning in all the United States. They'd have some storm rolling through and they'd get the first significant snowfall out of the whole U.S. outside of Alaska. Now, you mentioned Volcanoes National Park, and this year was definitely an active year on the Big Island, not just at Kilauea, but also at Mauna Loa. Were you able to experience the eruptions in 2023?
Yep. It was just crazy. So I was at Walmart, I come out of Walmart at the parking lot, and you can literally see Mauna Loa erupting. Like, I could never seen that anywhere else that I've been. It's crazy. So I actually went with my dad. We went up that night to see the lava flow. It's just a great experience. Just so like something you don't see every day, or you don't witness every day. And what's the good thing about the eruptions here in the Big Island? Like, I'm not really good in terms of geology, but the lava is really slow, so it's not really a threat. So when I was up there, there was a lot of people out there taking pictures, driving by. It's just crazy. When you drive by, you can just see a river of lava. You don't see that too often. Also in 2016, I don't know if you heard, right, out in Kalapana where Kilauea was erupting, the lava flow was going towards Pana. So I guess the national park had an okay to people to visit. So we hiked out like 4 miles out, and we were able to literally stand right next to lava.
No way.
Yeah, you can grab like a stick and then you can just stick it on the lava and see it burn. It was a great experience. Like, I still got pictures and everything. It was pretty cool.
Right now, at least at the time of the recording, there's really no active eruptions going on the Big Island. But, you know, Volcanoes National Park, I think, is very unique because it's always changing because of the eruptions. What's been your experiences in that national park?
I really enjoy it. Like what you said, it's unique. There's so many geological structures and features you can go to. There's like one area you can hike or drive through steam vents where there's smoke coming out of the ground. Another area where you can just go through like cinder services, like, and other hikes. there's also, you know, it erupts like at least once or twice a year. So in October, I was able to see, I guess, one of the craters of Caldera was spewing lava. You know, I brought my friend with me. That was my first time actually at night. So I thought that was a cool experience. My favorite hike there is the Hale Mau Mau Trail. Or no, Kilauea Iki Trail. So you go down, you start from the top and then you go down to the crater. And then it just like I said, it's just unique being in, on a crater. You just see all these rocks that you don't normally see. And then you go, you make your way back up. It's one of my favorite ones too as well.
Yeah. Is that the one, John, where you start off close to the lodge or restaurant? Almost by the visitor center and then you hike down?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was able to do that one.
And oh, you were able to do that one?
Yeah, and it's, you know, you go through this lush forest and then all of a sudden you just hit the crater and it's a whole, almost like otherworldly landscape because it's not completely barren. Like there's still a couple trees poking out. It's just something else to know that you're inside on a crater.
Yeah, it's like another planet. Like during, when it's sunny, it's nice. But when it's like cloudy or raining, you feel like you're in a different planet. I like it, you know, and the national park here in Hawaii, it's like, it's peaceful and there's a lot of history and culture. And that's another reason why I like it.
For you being able to experience it now, eruptions both at night and during the day, which one would you recommend to visitors to check out?
I would go at night, you know, it's glowing, not too many. Well, actually, there's a lot of people that go, so you gotta go super late. Just the fact it glows at night, it's really nice. Where in terms of during the day, you won't see too much of it.
Some of my favorite pictures have been that glow that's coming off the crater, and you just see the silhouettes of people or just the red glow. John, have you been able to do some hiking on some of the other islands?
I did hike in Kauai. Like I did the Kalalau Trail, which is known for the, you know, the one of the most dangerous hikes, but I didn't go through all the way. I just went for like a mile with a group of friends and then we turned around, but I really want to complete that hike one of these days, backpack it. I've hiked out in Maui. I think the one I did was out in the west side of Maui. It's called Waimoku Falls in the Haleakala Reserve area. But that's all I did though. I wish I did do more hikes outer island.
You've definitely been able to do a lot both on Oahu and Big Island. And not just that, like you said, you've been able to do some hiking on the mainland. And I feel like most recently, you've been able to cross off several of the big national parks across the west and southwest, starting off, you know, on the ninth island, as they say, Las Vegas. What are some of your favorite hiking destinations in and around Las Vegas?
You know how Las Vegas is, you know, people say, Las Vegas only has a strip, it's boring. But yeah, one of my favorite places out in Las Vegas is the Valley of the Fire. I mean, the rocks, the landscapes, it represents its name. Like the rocks is like red, it looks like fire. My favorite trail there is the Firewave Trail. It's great for like Instagram photos and stuff, but it's so unique. I do like the Red Rocks Conservation Area. That's also kind of remind me of the Valley of the Fire. And there's also Mount Charleston, which is a lot more different. You'll see more of like kind of a forest kind of a terrain when you go hiking. Over those three areas, right outside of Las Vegas, I prefer Valley of the Fire.
Yeah, and I feel like Valley of the Fire is less than an hour away from the Strip.
Like, yeah, it's like 45 minutes. I don't think it's well known yet compared to like the Red Rock Conservation Area.
Yeah, I finally got a chance to visit Valley of Fire last year and totally blew me away. Just incredible it looks. And even though it wasn't a super sunny day, just to see the different rock colors and formations. And John, I don't know if Vegas is your launching pad, but you crossed off Utah's Mighty Five national parks.
I did.
What was your experience at each one of them? And was that done on a single trip or did you break it up amongst other trips?
The Utah's Mighty Five is like one of my dreams that I conquered. I always wanted to visit it. I didn't do it in one trip. I did a weekend with Zion National Park and Bryce Canyon National Park. And then I did it on a 4-day weekend. I checked out Capitol Reef National Park, Canyonlands National Park, and Arches National Park. I think out of the five national parks, it has different features. That's what I've noticed. I say Zion National Park is the most I visited. It was like my third time this year visiting it. Yeah. Angel's Landing, you know, I like it how you can be in the top. You can see the valley of Zion. It's pretty. And then you got Bryce Canyon National Park, which is like, it's so colorful because there are rock formations there. It's nice. It's just bright, you know? So unique. I did Navajo Loop via the Queen's Garden Trail, which maybe is one of the popular hikes out there. And you can see part of that trail, you can see that famous switchback that you see a lot on social media or Instagram. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think people should do it in the morning when there's less people or when it's less crowded. Capitol Reef National Park, I think, you know, it's cool as on itself because it's like, it's weird. It's a small national park. You basically just pass through, I don't know what highway, but Highway 24, I think, you pass through and it's just there. Yeah, I think I did Hicksman's Bridge. It's like a short hike. And then I did another one called Tripney Rock, where you can pretty much see a good view of the national park. Not too many people that visit there, because when I was on top of Tripney Rock, like, didn't see any that much cars passing by. But they do have the world's famous pies there at Gifford Homestead. I don't know if you've been to, but yeah, their pies is pretty good.
Oh, I think I heard about them, but I didn't get to try them when I was there.
You gotta go early, because I went the first day and I never go to the afternoon. It was all sold out. So the next day I went in the morning.
Okay, good tip.
Yeah.
And I feel like out of the southeast corner of Utah, Capitol Reef, like you said, doesn't have the crowds that Arches or Canyonlands has. You do get those moments where you have the trail to yourself at times at Capitol Reef, where you might not have that in the other national parks.
No, I agree, bro. Like Arches National Park, I did the Delicate Arch. I had to wake up in the morning. Like I started hiking at 6 a.m. and there were so many people already starting off the hike or even coming back from the hike. So I get what you mean. It gets crowded out there. And same as the Canyonlands too. Like I did the Grand Viewpoint Overlook. Yeah, there was more people out there compared to Capitol Reef National Park. But I also like Dead Horse State Park, which is right next to Canyonlands.
Now, John, out of Utah's Big Five, if you had a friend that was going to visit Utah and asked, you know, which one of the five should I do on this trip, which one would you recommend?
Man, this is a hard question, bro. I'm going to have to say Arches National Park. It's just like, there's like so many sizes and different sizes and rock formations. And like, you know, just Moab is over there too, which, you know, there's a lot of things to do. You can go like off-roading, you can go camping. There's just a lot of things to do, you know. There's a lot to offer compared to the other national parks.
You know, outside of Utah, you've also made it to several national parks in California.
Yeah.
Which ones have you had a chance to cross off your list? And what were those experiences like?
This year I did Death Valley. I did it in January or February, I believe. I think I did Dante's Point. Kind of blew my mind on how the rock formations was. Like from afar, I think it was like blue or purple.
Wow.
Yeah. I also did the Salt Flats, which that's one of the reasons why I wanted to go and check out the Salt Flats, which because I see it a lot on social media. I was like, oh, I want to check that out. Badwater Basin, what it's called, I think. Then, you know, the lowest point of North America. So that was cool. That was a good experience. Last year, I did Yosemite's National Park, and we just passed by King's Canyon National Park. We just wanted to drive by because we was running out of time. So my time there, I stayed with a couple of friends at some Airbnbs for a few nights. Yeah, like Yosemite's National Park is like a magical place, you know. Like I still want to go out there and do Half Dome or Glacier Point. And then Sequoia National Park blew my mind. Like I want to go there during the winter, like to see the big trees. I was just blown away how big the trees were. And then when I was there, we were able to like see black bears with cubs. Thought that was cool. I was like,
oh, no kidding.
That was the first time I actually seen a bear. Like, and, you know, it's wildlife. Something you don't need to worry about when you're hiking in Hawaii.
Yeah, that's the one thing I do tell people, John, is there's nothing. I mean, the wild boars could do some damage.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. I take that back then.
But yeah, you don't know about bears, a big cat.
Yeah.
Snakes or spiders, it's definitely unique in that sense where you don't have to carry bear spray or anything as you do like in some of the national parks here on the West Coast.
Yeah, like I hiked out in Washington as well. I think it was the Rattlesnake Ridge Trail. Yeah, and then like at least every minute I would like turn around and see some animal falling. It's like, this is why I don't like hiking by myself when I'm in the mainland, because you never know. Yeah,
that's true. John, outside of the national parks that we've covered, are there any other ones that you've gotten a chance to do on the mainland or up in the Pacific Northwest when you were living here?
I did Joshua Tree National Park. Wasn't really as eye-opening as the other national parks. You know, it's crazy. I lived in Oregon. I haven't been able to visit Crater Lake National Park. The west side, maybe Redwoods and Lassen Volcanic National Park is another one I want to try check off. But yeah, I guess the Southwest and the national parks in California is the ones that I've checked off so far. There's a lot more to go.
Do you have some already planned for 2024?
I'm planning on going to Idaho and Montana in August. But I don't know about, oh, Glacier National Park. Yes, that's where I'm planning on going. But I think I'm going to join a group there. So we'll see what happens as it gets closer. Yeah.
You know, outside of the mainland and the islands, the one place that you were able to travel and even do some hiking in is on a lot of people's bucket lists, and that's Dubai. And from what it looked like, it was an incredible visit. Can you share a little bit about that visit and what the hike was like that you did?
Well, Dubai is far. It's a major city of the UAE, which is quite a journey. I had to fly to Seattle, actually, a 5.5 hour flight from Hawaii. And then took a 15-hour straight flight to Dubai from Seattle. Dubai itself, like, it's like the future. Like, the building structures is so futuristic. Like, right now, they have the world's tallest building, the Burj Khalifa. Pretty crazy. It's so nice. Either during the day or at night, it's really nice. And then you got the Museum of the Future. That's one area that I would recommend people to visit. They also have the Burj Al Arab 7-star hotel. They also have the Dubai Frame, which, like, it's like a big frame where you can, like, go up a structure. Then you got one side is called the Old Dubai, and the other side is the New Dubai, where, like, you can see the Burj Khalifa. And then you also have the palms, where, I don't know if you've seen it, they have these little islands where these houses are built. It just, there's a lot of, like, history and symbols they have when they have these cultural or building structures. It's pretty cool. But outside of Dubai, where things are different, because in Dubai it's kind of like very city-like, and that's where like the tourist is. But that's when you go outside of Dubai, that's where you like experience true Dubai, or experience true, like, everywhere you drive is just like sand. Desert sand. You learn a lot about the culture there, which I did. You know, I did a tour. I was able to go ATV riding. I was able to sandboarding. But the hike itself, I drove an hour and a half, or just a little bit over an hour north of Dubai. It's called Akorfaka. It's called Al Rabi Mountain. It's pretty much desert-like, so I kind of see it kind of similar to like hikes in Las Vegas when you hike a mountain hike or a ridge hike. The trail itself, the Al Rabi Mountain Trail, it's very maintained. Korfaka is known for its beaches, so it's kind of weird, you know, being in a desert and known for its beaches. But when you're in the top, you can see pretty much the whole city of Korfaka, and then I guess the whole coastal area where all the nice beaches are. There's also a UAE flag that is on top of there. I wish I did more. When I went to Abu Dhabi, we tried to do a hike that is not really well known yet. It's called the Al Wathba Salt Lake. We tried finding it, but we couldn't. So hopefully, if I ever get a chance to go back to Dubai or the UAE, I'll try to find that Salt Lake again. It's pretty cool. Al Wathba Salt Lake. Can try Google that or something.
You know, you've been to both places, and I feel like, and it still is, I feel like Las Vegas can be a sensory overload, especially for first-time visitors. There's just so much going on, so many lights, so many different things, you know, attracting your attention. And I feel like Dubai has that similar feel, where not just the architecture, but all the different activities that you can do within the city. Did you find yourself just kind of, you know, moving your head back and forth and looking at all the different things that Dubai has to offer?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's a lot, like what you said, there's a lot going on. Like there's so many people, there's so many tourists, like a lot of nice cars. There's just a lot going on, like from the building structures and to the activities they have. A lot of the activities, though, I feel like it's more of just tourist stuff, you know? But to me, it's a great, great city. I enjoy my time out there in the UAE, Dubai, Abu Dhabi. I have family in Abu Dhabi, so I met up with my cousins there.
And seeing the Burj Khalifa for the first time, you know, we've all seen skyscrapers in other cities. How was it seeing it for the first time? Like, because I feel like the videos and pictures just don't do it justice.
There's a lot going on, like you said, because it's by the mall. I did go all the way to the top. There's a line, though. It's kind of a tourist spot. I enjoyed it, actually, looking at it from the bottom instead of in the top. I mean, I think it's just because it was just too crowded at the top, too many tourists. Mm-hmm. The best, probably one of the best spots to do it or see it from the bottom is through the mall. There's an area where you can literally like take pictures and stuff of the Burj Khalifa.
And John, do you have to pay to go to the top?
Yes, you have to pay. Okay. I forget how much it costs, though.
Oh, that's all right. Now, you know, some hikers have a regular summit routine or an end of the hike routine. For some, maybe it's a favorite snack. For others, it's a favorite beverage. And then for a few, it's just a moment of zen, or maybe looking forward to the meal afterwards. Do you have a regular custom or routine that you do when you reach your summit or destination, or maybe when you make it back out?
So like my meal, you know, coming from Hawaii, I was gonna buy tamu subi.
Oh, better believe it.
Yeah, I take a couple of spam musubis with me when I reach the top, but that's pretty much my food. If People, I know Spam is not a popular food, but people don't know it's like a slice of grilled luncheon meat sandwich between like block of rice and wrapped with nori wrap. You can also add furikake or eggs or some shoyu sauce on top. What else? Sometimes I bring in some green tea. It's Arizona green tea. It's just so cheap.
I personally believe that 7-Eleven Hawaii has the best Spam musubis on Oahu, at least. I don't know how it is on the Big Island, but for me, those were some of the better musubis.
I think so, too. I agree. There's not much really going on in the Big Island when it comes to Spam musubi, side Silo Luncheon Shop, where else. Yeah, I don't know any other place that actually has its own unique style of making Spam musubis. Oahu is a lot. They have Taniokas. There are a couple places in downtown. I forget what it's called, in downtown Honolulu near Chinatown. It's another Spam musubi shop there. It's pretty good.
And are they still under $2? Because when I left, I think it was $1.79.
Nah, it's like $2.50 now.
Inflation,
man.
Inflation getting my Spam.
Raising those prices up. I also, when I hike solo, I also do like a moment of Zen. You know, when I reached my hiking destination or the summit, you know, I always reflect and reevaluate myself. Like, what am I doing in my life? What I can improve in my life? Or what should I focus in my life? And, you know, I know everybody has their own beliefs and religious values, but I'm a Christian and I believe in Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and Savior. I sometimes bring my Bible to read a verse and see if I can relate to and connect with God or say a prayer. There's a few times I brought people along with me hiking who's going through a lot, you know, through depression or going through a divorce. You know, I'll pray over them or just be there in the moment with them, you know, just have that sense of peace away from all the mess or, you know, the everyday life. And that's like one of my favorite things. I like nature and the outdoors. It's peaceful. You know, I'm not surrounded by the everyday life, but surrounded by the, you know, God's creation. It's beauty. You know, away from the noise, everyday routine and chaos. Gives me peace, calmness, touches my soul. And yeah, again, opportunity to connect with God.
Yeah, I think a lot of people find sanctuary out in outdoor spaces. Yeah. It's definitely a place that brings a lot of people back to center.
I believe that. It's so peaceful, you know, when it comes to nature.
One thing that we like to do on the podcast, John, is we like to do a deep dive on our guest's Instagram and pick out a picture or a video that catches our attention and kind of ask the guest a little bit more about it. And you've done some pretty funny reels lately over the last couple of months. How is it filming those reels? Because I'm always intrigued by content creators about the filming process. You've done some pretty good reels lately about hiking and hikers, and even for Halloween you did a special one. What's been your creative process in making those videos, and what is it like actually filming it out in the wild?
The creative part, I don't know, I'm still trying to figure that out. I just do it like everybody else do it, you know. I just try to like do things, you know, make people laugh, but also I just want to be informative. That's what kind of my Instagram is about, actually. I want it to be more informative in terms of hiking and traveling. In terms of the process of making these videos, it's pretty, you got to have a lot of patience, especially when you're hiking in the trail. For example, if you're hiking a 1 mile trail, it takes about 30 to 45 minutes. But when you're recording, it takes about over an hour, and it gets I get pretty impatient after. It's like, oh, this is taking forever. Sometimes, you know, I feel like when people pass by, I'm like, oh. It's just like, I don't know if I'm shy, but like, I just look at like, if people pass by me, like I ask myself, like, am I being weird? But, you know, I do enjoy doing these kind of stuff, and I hope to continue doing it. And I'm making more time of it. Like, I just never have time. Like, I have a job. I have a lot of responsibilities. So it's kind of hard to try to put a lot more time, which I should, though. Or try to at least find time.
Well, definitely the one for Halloween with the Popeye's chicken had me rolling.
Oh, yeah. That's the one, like, yeah, I had to plan that one a lot. I wanted to make a funny one. No, yeah,
I appreciate
there's so many ideas that I try to, like, figure out. Or, you know, I think I just got to post more, you know. But then again, like, I don't want it just to be just funny videos, you know. I want informative videos as well, like, so I can help people, right? If they gotta go traveling or if they want to go hike somewhere, can be informative, give them information through my posts.
Yeah, a balance of both. Now, John, when it comes to your pack list, do you carry any luxury items that fall outside of the essentials, like whether it's a camera, tripod, gimbal? Is there anything you carry that kind of falls outside of the essentials?
I guess plastic bag and toilet paper. Gotta use them somehow, you know. You gotta go. But yeah, that's what I normally pack if I you know, just in case, especially if I eat a big meal before, you never know. Mm-hmm. I think one thing that I would like to pack or actually invest in is like a sleep apnea machine or like a sleep apnea, portable sleep apnea machine. That's why I can't do any backpacking, which I want to do. But like, I think sleep is very important, any quality sleep. So I think investing in those devices is something I would like to look into in the future as a luxury item, you know. But other than that, normally I just bring water, you know, food. I do have a camera, but it's not a full frame camera. I have my tripod as well, just a little one. But yeah, I don't, besides having like toilet paper and plastic bag, I don't bring anything, you know, very luxurious or anything. Yeah, it's just I want to backpack, and I think having those devices, a sleep apnea portable traveling devices, would help.
And then, you know, you've already shared some of the national park trips that you're going to be doing, or travel to the mainland for Idaho and Montana. Do you have any other hiking or travel goals for 2024?
Yeah, in April, man, I'm going to the Philippines and South Korea. So nice. Right now I'm planning on hiking Mount Pulag. It's in the main island of Luzon. It's the tallest peak in Luzon. Mount Pulag is known to be called the Playground of the Gods or Sea of Clouds. So I'm going to try find like a group of people out there. I know they have hiking groups, and see if they want to join me or if I can join them. Because apparently I hear they start the hike at like 1 a.m. and then make their way out to the summit to beat the sunrise. So when the sunrise comes, you can see the Sea of Clouds. I'm also trying to see any waterfall hikes I can do out there. And also another like summit peak hike again, somewhere like near Manila side. Mount Pulag is actually north of Manila, which is like, I don't know how far, but I know it's near Baguio. It's between Manila and Ilocos Norte. Yeah, I plan on doing the Avapuhi Trail in Kauai if I have time. And maybe if I can gather up some people to do the Kalalau Trail with me. South Korea, no, I don't plan on hiking, but I just plan on traveling there and just, you know, have that experience of knowing that, hey, I'm in South Korea. I want to know about their culture. I want to eat their food. I had a job offer in Southern Utah in Cedar City, which is, you know, where Zion and Bryce Canyon is. I know I regret it now, or I kind of regret it in a way that I didn't accept it, because that was probably like another plan of mine of hiking a lot if I lived out there. But I decided to not to accept the offer and stay in Hawaii for now. But yeah, that's my plans right now for the Philippines, South Korea, Montana, Idaho. And
I'm looking forward to seeing the pictures both from the Philippines and South Korea, but also when you make it Montana and Idaho. The last question for you, John, is for anybody that's interested in visiting the Big Island to do some outdoor hiking, whether it's the national parks or outside of the national parks, what are some tips and tricks that you would give?
Well, come in spring or summer, because right now in the winter, it just rains. It just rains like for days. The weather's not that great. When you're in Hilo, you know, it's different. It's a rainforest. And then when you're Kona side, on the west side of Big Island, it's pretty much desert. So it's always sunny and hot. Say like to, I guess, do your research over where you want to go. And I like I said, I recommend the national park and also South Point. And I think, you know, people in Hawaii are nice and they're willing to help you. You know, there are hiking groups out there in the Big Island that can give you some ideas or some hikes to recommend.
Well, that was it for the regular episode questions. This next section of the podcast is the this or that questions. I'm going to give you two hiking related topics, and you just choose which one you prefer out of the two. And you can elaborate if you like. But the first one is, do you prefer a steep incline or a steep decline?
Incline. Yeah, I guess going to the destination, the challenge. And then when you reach to the top, it's like, you know, this is my reward. And I know, I mean, to me, decline is a lot harder. My knees give out.
And this one's a tough one because, you know, Hawaii's known for them, but waterfalls or summits?
I gotta go summits, man. I like my mountains. Waterfalls is beautiful, but I like my mountains. I like the mountains.
And when it comes to the trail system, John, do you prefer switch or straight up?
I guess switchbacks.
Do you use trek poles or are you freehand?
I do freehand, but my friend brought me some trek poles for Christmas last year. I haven't even used it yet, so I gotta use it. I gotta make use of it just in case if I gotta use it. If I go backpacking in the future.
Yeah, I would say, John, when I lived in Hawaii, I never used trekking poles. It wasn't until I came back to the mainland where I started using them again.
Oh, I guess I got to go to the mainland again then.
Because I feel like, at least on the trails on Oahu, you didn't really need them.
I mean, most of the time.
This next one is about your footwear. Do you prefer wearing trail runners or hiking boots?
I have trail runners right now, but I'm going to say hiking boots. I have had a couple hiking boots before I decided to get some trail running shoes.
And then another trail system question. Do you prefer loop trail or an out back trail?
Loop trail, because out and back trail, it's like you see all that stuff, so you get to your destination, and when you go back down, you already seen it.
And then this one, at least for me, I think I know the answer when it comes to the islands. But when you do come across a body of water on the hikes, do you touch it, whether it's just putting your hand, maybe your toes, or for some, maybe it's just jumping in head first, or do you prefer to stay dry?
I touch it. I would jump in.
And then this one's a tough one, but sunset hikes or sunrise hikes?
Oh, man. Yeah, it is a tough one. Sunset. I say sunset because I don't, I got to wake up in the morning. That's why. See you on sunset.
I feel like Hawaii, they don't have fall colors, but when you were on the mainland, did you have a preference between the spring wildflowers or fall colors?
Fall colors. I like the fall colors.
And does the Big Island have trees that have a fall color? Not really, right?
Not really. I mean, I have my avocado trees. The leaves fall down, but the colors is not the nicest ones you see in the mainland.
And this last question is, outside of the national park system, when it comes to recreational areas, do you prefer a national forest or a state park?
National forest, yeah.
Well, that was it for the this or that questions, John. Really great talking story with you today, and I'm looking forward to seeing what 2024 has to offer for you. For folks that haven't had a chance to follow you on Instagram, can you share your handle and maybe...
If they want to follow me on Instagram and Facebook, it's john.ventures. And then Facebook as well is John Ventures. I'd also have a YouTube channel, John Ventures, but I haven't really made a video yet, but I would like to start making videos sometime next year. Besides hiking and doing outdoor stuff, so I do want to incorporate my fitness and health journey into John Ventures. I believe fitness does connect with hiking and doing outdoor stuff. You gotta stay healthy, you gotta stay fit to do all those outdoor activities. So I wanted to incorporate that as well.
John, thank you again for joining us on the podcast. Really appreciate you spending your time, and I look forward to seeing what 24 has to offer.
Thank you.
And that brings us to the end of this episode alongside John. We extend a heartfelt thanks to him for coming on the podcast. Make sure to stay connected and follow his upcoming adventures on Instagram at john.ventures. Be sure to check out the episode show notes to check out John's other social media pages. We have an incredible lineup of episodes planned throughout the winter months, and we can't wait to share them with you. New episodes will be dropping every Monday with occasional bonus episodes on Fridays. To ensure you never miss out on those thrilling tales, remember to hit that like and subscribe button. Your support means the world to us. Don't forget to join our vibrant community on Instagram, at Hikes and Mikes. We'll be sharing episode visuals, my own personal hiking content, and so much more. Let's stay connected and continue to inspire each other on this remarkable journey. As we bid farewell, remember to tread those happy trails, embrace the great outdoors, and keep the spirit of adventure alive. Until next time, my fellow explorers, happy hiking. This episode's music was created by Ketsa. Follow him on Instagram, at Ketsa Music. This episode is brought to you by Flip Socks. Whether you're on the trail, on the job, or in the yard, Flip Socks will keep Mother Nature out of your boots with their innovative nylon sleeve. You no longer need to worry about any annoying debris getting trapped in your boots during your hikes. Simply flip down the nylon sleeve over any boot to prevent Mother Nature from finding its way inside, keeping your feet comfortable all day long. To get your first pair, visit flipsockswithaz.com and enter promo code HikesMikes10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for listeners who use the promo code at checkout, I'll be donating 100% of the Season 2 promo code proceeds to Big City Mountaineers, who provide transformative experiences through connections to nature that strengthen life skills and build community for youth and disinvested communities across the nation. So if you're tired of bits and pieces of the trail finding its way into your hiking boots, pick up a pair of Flip Socks today with the promo code HikesMikes10 to get 10% off. For website and promo code, see the episode description.